Well, good morning, everyone. It's great, it's wonderful to be here with you, worshiping the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. If you have a Bible with you, we'll turn to Mark 35, 41. This is the word of the Lord. On that day when evening had come, he, and that is Jesus speaking, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with a great fear. And they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, wonderful things are written in your word. In the Old Testament, we see the promises of a coming Messiah who would come and save us from our sins. And in the New Testament, we see that it has been fulfilled in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help open our eyes and ears and our hearts and minds to these promises made and promises fulfilled. And help us to hide them in your heart so that we may believe in you and trust in you and grow in you so that we may serve you and others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we have had some seriously severe weather here in Northern Virginia. Property damage caused by rain and flooding and sometimes even death. At the beginning of this month, I was caught in one of those massive thunderstorms and couldn't see a thing, just sheet rain coming down, lightning flashing, and then suddenly I noticed the road was flooded, and so I made a detour, and I detoured around and then kept heading home, and then suddenly I come out of the rain and I go, "Oh, good, I'm safe now." But then I noticed in the oncoming traffic, nobody's going in the opposite direction. So I keep driving, and before long, I see in the eastbound lane a giant puddle, and not a single car was dare chancing it. And maybe some of you have had some similar stories these past few weeks of getting caught in a thunderstorm, and maybe you have some stories that are worse than mine. Maybe you've had to deal with some flash flooding, or down trees, or your power going out. Storms are interesting. Storms, whether they're a natural storm or a metaphorical storm, sometimes we'll say, "Oh, I'm going through a real storm in my life right now. It feels like a real bad storm." They have an interesting role in the Bible. And as we can see from today's scripture readings, they reveal three things: who we are before a living and true God. Storms reveal our Savior. And in light of those revelations, we have to ask ourselves, what's our response going to be to our Savior? Well, it was the close of the day, and Jesus had spent the entire day in the disciples' boat speaking to a crowd assembled at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And after giving a series of parables, Jesus commands the disciples to come into the boat, and they're going to sail the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to go to the other side of the sea. And then suddenly this storm arose. And out of the 12 disciples, Simon, James, John, Andrew, they were fishermen. And then there was Philip and Bartholomew. They were locals. They grew up in the town of Bethsaida. They knew what the weather would be like on the Sea of Galilee. And they knew when to go out and when to stay home. And you know, as a comparison, all of us here who drive, we know what it's like to drive on the beltway, getting to and fro from our homes and our places of work or schools. Sometimes, like the disciples, you know, we can handle this. You know, it's a good day on the road today. Oh, we'll have to make a detour here, a detour there. And then suddenly, just one day, we're caught in an accident right in the middle of the beltway, and we're stuck. And there's just no way out. And sometimes, like the disciples in the boat, we get a little angry, we get a little desperate, we get a little frightened. Maybe sometimes deep down, we go even to a spiritual level and say, does Jesus care about me right now? Storms, whether they're metaphorical or physical, they have a tendency to reveal our limitations, our inadequacies. When God created Adam and Eve, our first parents, he endowed them with skills by which they could tend the Garden of Eden. And even after they fell into sin, and we, their descendants, sinned, fell into sin with them, he still endowed us with skills by which we can make our way through this world. And at the same time, the world became a more difficult place. Thorns infest the ground. We earn our food and drink by the sweat of our brows. The birth of children comes with difficulty. Storms arise and they toss us about. But all of these obstacles are graces. Because like the disciples in the storm-tossed vessel, they reveal our Savior. If we suddenly had an emergency, we need somebody to save us. We call 911 and the first responders come and they attend to the situation. What a comfort it is when we see their truck roll up and they take care of the situation. The disciples, some of them being experienced fishermen, should have had the situation under control, but this storm is beyond them. They needed help. They go to the back of the boat and they wake up Jesus. Now, as fully human, Jesus experienced the same things we do. He was hungry, he was thirsty, and he needed to sleep, especially after spending the entire day teaching. But there's another aspect of Jesus' humanity in this story. Faithfulness. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, King David sang, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Jesus, as fully human, yet without sin, was truly faithful to his Father. He slept not only because he was tired and in need of refreshment. He slept because he trusted in God the Father. God the Father would get him safely to the other side. He knew that the kingdom of God would come into fruition, and he knew he would be its king. In Mark 1, 12 to 13, Jesus is sent into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Mark also notes that he's surrounded by wild animals. But Jesus left unharmed. Why? Because he trusted in God the Father. The Father protected him with angels. And later on in Mark, Jesus revealed his future death, the perpetrators of it, the manner of it, and the aftermath to his disciples. Jesus would not be lost at sea. He would go to Jerusalem, be tried by the Jewish and Roman authorities. He would be crucified for our sins, and then on the third day, rise from the dead. Now, with that knowledge, Jesus could soundly sleep in the boat through the storm because he trusted that God the Father would get them to the other side. But the disciples, they do not know this, and they cry out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Boy, that is really harsh what they say to our Lord. But they're desperate. They fear that they will drown. Jesus knows that they will make it to the other side, but they do not. The disciples accuse Jesus of not caring. Surely he must have heard the wind and felt the water soaking his clothes. And yet he still sleeps. So they wake him up with the harsh words, "Teacher, do you not care that we are drowning?" Now, I was tempted to condemn them for calling him a mere teacher. Have they forgotten the miracles that he conducted in Galilee? What about the healing of Peter's mother-in-law? What about the lepers? What about the casting out of demons? What about the healing of the paralytic? No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think they've forgotten that. They remember that Jesus can perform miracles. But Jesus reminded him that his main mission was to preach and teach the coming of the kingdom of God. So it shouldn't surprise us that they call him teacher, because that's his main focus. So what they're really saying is, teacher, knowing that you can perform miracles, now would be a good time. Now, when we go through a trial or a storm, we may have our doctrine all lined up, but our practice of it can be so jumbled, and we can sound exactly like the disciples. Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that I'm perishing, that we're perishing? In Romans 8, 23 to 27, Paul notes that as adopted children of God, we sometimes do not know what to pray or how to pray, or that it comes up from our hearts and out of our mouths more like groaning instead of words. We should not despair, though, because the Holy Spirit will help us, and he'll intercede on our behalf. And the Son of God and God the Father will understand our situation and come to our aid. It answers to the disciples' question, do you not care that we are perishing? Well, guess what? Jesus does care that we are perishing. It's for this reason that Jesus came into our world. Jesus came to save us from perishing. In John 3:16, we learn that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Without Christ, we are perishing in our sinfulness. And like the storm, our sins will take us down into the chaotic depths of a sea worse than the Sea of Galilee. The same word the disciples used to describe perishing at sea is the same word to describe us as sinners apart from Christ. We who have rebelled against God deserve to perish in hell, the stormy lake of fire. But God the Father cares whether or not we perish. He sent his Son to save us from the lake of fire, just as he saved the disciples from perishing on the Sea of Galilee. He came and died on the cross for our sins, and he died so that we would live. And like the disciples, we can come to him. We can call on his name, and we can be saved from perishing. And not only does Jesus deliver us from the stormy lake of fire, he cares about us when we undergo storms in this life, too. Just like the Sea of Galilee, which could without warning be hit with sudden storms, we can be hit with sudden storms in our everyday lives. But when they come, we can turn to Jesus. So at times, we will find ourselves praying to God in the same manner the disciples pray to Jesus. But it's okay to pray in that manner. Jesus will respond. And how does Jesus respond? How does he respond to their request? He awoke, rebuked the wind and the sea, and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and the sea died down, and all was calm. Jesus' manner of speaking to the wind and the waves is akin to how he speaks to the demons he cast out of afflicted people. But it also echoes back to Genesis chapter 1, when the heavens and the earth were created. It was complete chaos, without form and void. And then the Lord God speaks, and the realms of heaven and sea and earth were formed and filled with every living creature. Jesus reveals that he's more than a good teacher. He is the Son of God. And just as he, along with the Father and the Spirit, brought the physical world into existence, he can put the fallen world, demonstrated by the chaotic storm, back into its proper position. And once again, Jesus would repeat this event in the Gospel of Mark, right at the end of the Gospel of Mark. He would be tired out, not by teaching, but by a grueling, unjust trial and a severe execution. And then he would sleep, leaving his disciples confused and scared. But on the third day, he would appear and he would be alive, and he put them and he put us in a better position. After the storm, Jesus turned to his disciples and chided them for their behavior. Fear prevailed over their faith. They had good reasons to fear, and so do we when we are in a storm. But Jesus asks them, "Why were you so afraid? In other words, why did you have such a heightened sense of fear? Have you still no faith? Earlier in the story, Jesus commanded them, let us go across to the other side. If he said they were going across to the other side, they'd get to the other side. No wind or wave would prevent them from getting across the Sea of Galilee. They might be tossed and swamped, but they would not perish at sea. Jesus and the disciples would get to the other side. Like the disciples, we've experienced storms that seek to toss us about and seek to drown us. There are forces seen and there's forces unseen. Same forces that contended with Jesus and the disciples contend with us today. And Jesus is ready to help us. He will help us decrease our fears and increase our faith in him. We can sleep peacefully in the storms, or we can take action. But ultimately, he'll get us to the other side. And in Romans 8, 37, 39, we are assured that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Storms may toss us and break over us, but they will never take us down if we trust in Jesus Christ. One day when the storms will cease and we arrive at the other side, there Jesus will greet us. And not only will he be on the heavenly shore, we'll find out that his presence has been with us the whole time. The Holy Spirit maintained his presence in our midst, convicting us of our fears, convincing us to have faith in him, and sustaining us through the storms. So now in closing, let us look at the disciples' response to Jesus and our response. Fear of perishing has given way to fear of their teacher. And they cannot help but ask the question that constantly recurs in the Gospel of Mark. Who then is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus, throughout the Gospel of Mark, possesses a secret identity. He teaches and performs miracles that cause people to wonder, who is this man? And Mark writes it in this manner so that we will conclude that Jesus is the Son of God. At the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Mark gives us a thesis statement. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he recounts the miracles, Jesus' preaching and teaching, the discourses providing, and discourses. All these providing evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. And then at the climax of the account, at the crucifixion scene, the Roman centurion overseeing the operation, witnessing the darkness shroud the land, hearing Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And learning that the temple curtain has been ripped in two from top to bottom, puts it all together and says, truly this man is the Son of God. The disciples' question is answered by the Roman centurion near the end of the book. Now what about you and me? Today we all need to realize who we are and who Jesus is. And in this region, you're known largely for what you do for a living. This region is a hub for government, for bureaucracy, and business. This is a place where skill in many fields is in high demand. But we have limitations. We may have all the skills to work in specific fields, but then God reveals to us that we are immensely inadequate. When that happens, Jesus reveals our fears and our lack of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to enjoy sunny days. Without faith, it's impossible to get through storms. Without faith, it is impossible to get to the other side. Anyone who says that they can cross over to the other side, to the heavenly side, with their skill sets, they're not going to touch dry land. We need Jesus Christ to get us to the other side. Our text calls us to go deeper. It calls upon us to ask with the disciples, who is this then? Who is this man who could sleep through a storm and then awaken and have the wind and the waves obey him? He is Jesus Christ, fully human and fully divine. And as fully God, he begins our voyage. He ends our voyage. And he's with us through the entire voyage. As fully man, he sets the example, encouraging us to trust in God. But we need to go a little deeper. Too often we tend to delight in Jesus when things are going well, and then accuse him of drowning us when the storms arise. Or we only call upon him when we are going through storms. And we go about our voyages when all is calm. But Jesus commands us in today's text to trust him in all occasions. He will get us to the other side. He is fully man. He knows what we go through. He has been there before. He shows us by example that we can rest knowing that everything is under control. Moreover, as God the Son, he is in total control of the wind and the waves. And one day he will say to them, "Peace, be still." And we will disembark on the other side. Until then, let us trust and obey him, regardless of the situation. Let us come to him in good times and difficult times, calling upon him to increase our faith in him and take our fears away. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and how it tells of your promises made and kept to your people. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for coming into our world to become one of us. We thank you for saving us from sin, dying on the cross for our sins, rising again for our life. And we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to keep us in sunny and stormy weather. Father, we ask in the name of Christ to increase our faith and diminish our fears when trials come. Help us to trust and obey your Son, knowing that he has secured us in him and his finished work. And as the work week comes upon us tomorrow, O Lord, and the expected and unexpected are before us, help us to hide what we have read and heard today in our hearts. Bless us, Lord, with your presence at work, at home, and at leisure, till we return to worship you next Sunday. And remind us daily that you will get us to the heavenly shore in spite of the wind and waves of life. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen.